But it's not nine.
While we're getting started.
Yeah, we get warmed up.
Give people.
Alaria was asking me if we wanted to build an actual deck today. Alaria was asking me.
Somebody has signed. Yeah.
That's Alf. Oh my god. Sorry.
Yeah, if we wanted to build a deck on like live as like an example. And we can if we have like real examples. Otherwise I'll just kind of go through the process. But it would be cool to kind of make a mock deck. I just don't have like actual examples prepared so that we could do that.
Okay.
But it would be cool.
How would you make it? Like, what would you need access to? What kind of a doc?
Honestly, we could just kind of make things on the fly and just make up stats and just make up a fake organization or tavern.
What kind of, like, would a Google Doc be okay?
Yeah, like if we just pulled up a Google Doc and we started like hashing out what would we put on this deck, right? Mm-hmm. And obviously I'm not going to like pull up Illustrator and start making graphics on the fly, but
that'd be awesome.
Yeah. Awesome. We already got Mars in the chat.
He was already hyping it up.
Yeah.
He's our number one big fan.
Gotta have him. I mean, Mars is awesome.
I'm going to send the link on Discord for this folder, but I did give you direct access as well. It's just a Google Doc that we can build, and I can link it if we want to.
Sure. So when we get to that portion, we'll start going through. Maybe just make like bullet points here. So
I'm thinking if when we are going over that, Avanti's, if there's any way to switch to a window, and then the whole screen, like we don't even have to be on there.
Show if what possible. Now?
There's a doc that I linked on Discord, and it would just be that window, and it can replace our whole.
Yeah, give me just a second, and I will set that up.
Welcome, every guys in the chat. We're still setting things up, but it's going to be so awesome and fun.
Monty, did you get a new microphone?
No.
Oh, okay. Sounds good.
Okay.
Not that you don't ever, so.
Let's see.
Yeah, Mars, you've been hyping up your events. You've been raising that bar. It's really great to see.
Does that look okay?
Yeah, I think that's totally perfect.
All right, then you guys just tell me. Whoa.
Thanks for listening to the Innkeepers podcast.
Cool, and that works great because then you can also pull up the other deck.
HSinnkeepers.com.
Stop. There we go. For whatever reason, it just said it wanted to play the exit music.
Woo!
I have no idea what the exit music sounds like.
Oh, I bet that's going
to
be
a problem. We don't either.
Hang on.
Only Avanti hears it. Yeah, that's, we just sit here and bob along to what off. He's doing.
That's why I did it, because I never switch scenes with the exit music. All right. That should be fixed. It shouldn't happen again.
Cool. Fixed is a good thing.
What is up, Bites? Welcome to chat.
Scooter's in the house.
Cool. And do you have the link for those other two decks, Patrick?
Were those shared in Discord as well?
They were the ones Andy linked. The Bitly links.
Larry linked them.
Ah, yeah, they're in Twitch chat, actually.
Ah, gotcha. Sponsorship deck.
Yeah, there's local deck and event deck.
Yep.
Do we need to show these as well on stream?
Yeah, we'll talk about them.
Okay.
Should have gotten food earlier.
Okay, sorry. I'm just gonna slyly do. Ooh, what's happening?
When I try to open the link for local deck, I get an error message saying, "We're sorry, your Gmail account's temporarily unavailable."
Whoa!
Awesome.
You've been served.
That's weird.
Make sure you're sharing it to hsnkeepers@gmail.com.
HS.
Yeah, it should all be. I'll double check, but it should. Yep, hsnkeepers has access.
See, I told you, hsnkeepers. You're using hsnkeepers. Totally different. She's clearly using the EU version of hsnkeepers.
Yeah. That's why it's not working. Okay. Yeah, hsnkeepers has access. So it should have access.
Okay. Ooh, October Brawl. Have you guys done that yet?
I just got Twitch Prime today, so...
Just now today?
Well, I got my two card backs off of Twitch Prime. Oh, so nice.
That's why.
Did you really? Yeah. What's cool is you can actually support Twitch channels with it at like no cost, and it's kind of gimpy. It's kind of doesn't really work, and you can actually just continue to support other channels. Poor freebies.
All right, gang, I have 9:01. Are we ready to start? I'll keep trying to work on this issue while.
Yeah.
Give me 30 seconds.
I think I'm fixing it. Okay, you should have access to both of them now. I just added them to our Drive folder and shared with that.
I see that.
That should work. Oh, but then maybe the link won't work for other people. But we're going to have it on the stream, so it'll be fine.
All right, so I have the Crimson Gaming deck open, and then the local.
I think we'll start with
the blank one.
Are we doing our intro? Or are we just talking about?
Yeah, we'll start with the bank, the blank one, and then we'll look at the esports invitational one, and then the CG one. Yeah, and in that order.
Starting in. 5, 4, 3, 2.
Welcome to the Innkeepers Podcast. We're glad you found your way here.
And welcome to episode 4 of the Innkeepers Podcast. We are a podcast for innkeepers covering Hearthstone's fireside gatherings. With insight and information, we hope our fellow innkeepers find useful. Our topic for this episode comes from many innkeepers at the last summit, and we hope we'll be able to answer some of their questions about sponsorships. This is Patrick from Knoxville, Tennessee.
This is Andy from Orlando, Florida.
And this is Larry from Halifax, Canada. Oh, it's me. And joining us today is our guest, Jordan from Salt Lake City.
Hey, how's it going, everybody?
What's going on, Jordan? Coming up here in episode number 4 of the Innkeepers Podcast, we're going to be identifying some needs and deliverables for your podcast that your sponsors may want to know about. We're going to be talking about building a sponsored deck and talking about single event-focused sponsorships and long-term event-focused sponsors.
And don't forget, for all of your Hearthstone Innkeeper needs, make sure to check out the official Blizzard website, firesidegatherings.com. And you can also check out hsinnkeepers.com, which is a very special Innkeeper website that has a lot of Innkeeper resources drawn from all over the world. So definitely check that out. And we want to give a special thanks to Alex from Salt Lake City, the Innkeeper there. His today's topics were inspired by his questions. There we go.
Absolutely. And before we get into all of that, for those of you who may not have tuned in to last week's episode, we'd like to first reintroduce our special guest, Jordan. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, so I'm the head innkeeper here in Salt Lake City for Crimson Gaming. We're the collegiate esports organization at the University of Utah. And yeah, I've been involved in Fireside Gatherings for over 2 years now. Also involved with the competitive Hearthstone scene here in Utah. I'm coaching for the University of Utah's varsity esports team, which is pretty cool. We actually have a match in like an hour, so.
That's so awesome.
Yeah, that is awesome.
All right, so let's go ahead and jump right into it. And we're going to be talking about identifying your needs and your deliverables. So you want a sponsor. You want to be able to give that sponsor some information while, you know, whet their appetite, make it interesting to them as to why they should actually be your sponsor. We're not going to get it on looks alone. So you have to have some method to know what you have to offer and what you need to be asking for them. So, Jordan, what are some of the things that would be asking for outside of money from a sponsor?
Yeah, so oftentimes when you're approaching a sponsor, you may not feel comfortable asking for money right away, right? Or they might just not be able to give money. But there's lots of other things you can ask for. Things like swag or prizes you can do for giveaways. You can ask, honestly, just for their name. Sometimes that'll get you additional kind of pull with other things. Location or venue space is a very common sponsorship that a lot of times people don't realize is in fact kind of one of those things you're asking for, right? Food, drinks, snacks, depending on the kind of company you're talking with, or even just kind of discounts on services could be something that you're asking for. There's a number of things, you know, the sky's the limit. It really just comes down to what is the nature of the sponsor you're talking with and what is it that you're actually, you know, in need of in your specific situation.
Okay, so all that can change based on the individual. Somebody may say, for instance, they have a venue, the venue is comped to them, so they don't have to worry about that. But they may not be in the best place for people to get food and beverage, so it might behoove them to pick up a food and beverage vendor to have somebody come in and actually help out that venue. So very good points. Now, let's talk about the flip side of that. What do we as innkeepers have to offer a sponsor?
Yeah, so a lot of times, you know, the most common one people think of are foot traffic, right? Especially if it's a venue or some kind of business. You get people in those doors, which ultimately always turns into revenue or services administered for those people. You also have just kind of, what's the best way to put it? Not necessarily brand recognition, although that is one, but just like word of mouth. The experiences that you have with that organization, if done properly, you'll have nothing but positive experiences, which your patrons and everyone who's there will be able to translate that to people that they know, whether it's friends, family, coworkers, you know, your neighbor, doesn't matter. Last week we had the example of like a tech store. They were able to, you know, we suggested maybe a trade there or something could be you advertise to your patrons that, you know, this place is willing to upgrade your computer whenever it is you need to, you know, get rid of the old one. And you can offer them maybe a list of people who would be interested in those kinds of services. So really, it all, again, comes down to maybe the nature of the sponsor, what kind of things they're needing or interested in, but also, you know, what it is that your community or your organization is also able to provide.
One of the things that I found rather interesting is a lot of times in venues that you're in, a particular sponsor may not be able to get into that venue in any other way besides your way. For instance, if you decide to sponsor with a local beverage vendor, be it Coca-Cola, Pepsi, whoever it might be, a distributor for that for them, and you're going to, I don't know, a Microsoft store, and you're telling, you tell a Microsoft store, hey, we're bringing drinks. Microsoft store says, fine. People show up to the Microsoft store, have a great Hearthstone tournament, and you're serving a drink and a beverage that they otherwise may not be able to get with inside the Microsoft store. So it gives that vendor a little bit of a way into places where they may not otherwise be. So that's always something to keep in mind. Also, one of the things that, that you mentioned, the computer store, and I had talked to somebody, I can't recall, but they were telling me on their venue that they do have a computer store sponsor, and they bring in hardware. Not everybody's, but they bring in like one of their top-of-the-line computers, and they say, this is what we build. Check out Hearthstone on this computer. It runs like a dream. And the people are like, yeah, you know what? I want one of these computers. And it puts that that into their mind. They've experienced how awesome it runs, and then they end up having sales that way. So it's always a nice platform for a potential sponsor to get some recognition on.
Yeah, absolutely. And to give you an example of one of the things we oftentimes will offer our sponsors that we approach is a reach, potential reach. Since we're a collegiate organization, we have the potential to reach nearly, not every student, but a large majority of students on campus, whether it's through physical flyers or social media. And recently, we have a little bit more pull with the university's social media, oftentimes through things like Twitter or Facebook, retweets and reposts or shares. So things like that, if you have connections, utilize those and advertise those as things that these companies are looking for, especially if the demographic that you represent is something that they're really trying to target and hone in on. And they may not really have an efficient or effective way of tapping into that market without you.
Yeah, you can become their de facto networker for that. All right, so now we've identified what we need. We've identified what we've got. Now it's time to put it all together, and Avantis is going to tell us how we're going to start to actually build our deck. So Avantis, take it away.
Okay, so we've used the term sponsorship deck. We're not talking like a deck of cards here. But, you know, it's something you want to use to get your message across to potential sponsors. It's a pretty critical step in the entire process. And we've got some pretty straightforward steps to kind of help you understand. But before we do that, Jordan, can you kind of elaborate on what exactly are we talking about when we say a sponsorship deck?
Yeah, so when we say a deck, it's kind of like a sales pitch almost, as it were, but it's organizing all of your thoughts and all of your wants and all of your ideas in one place that's kind of digestible for the sponsor and isn't too over the top or too excessive, but it gets the point across in a straightforward manner. And it's professional, right? So a lot of times, in some of the examples you'll see later, you'll have these elaborate sponsorship decks with lots of nice graphics and whatnot. You don't need all of that. And one of the things we're going to be talking about is just keep it simple, stupid. It needs to be clean, not too many words, which you'll see we break sometimes. Graphics, pictures speak volumes, especially when it comes to numbers, having specific numbers, what you can reach, and then having past experiences and references are really the keys that you need to have an effective but relatively simple sponsorship deck.
Okay, cool. So now do we want to show some examples now?
Yeah, so let's start with just a single event example here that I have. This was an event that we actually collaborated with several different universities for this last spring, where we were inviting all of these universities together to host what we called the Utah Intercollegiate Esports Invitational, or Utah Ice, and then we flipped the I at the end, and it was like an upside down exclamation mark. So that was kind of our marketing, thing there. It was kind of clever. So here, if you want to zoom in there on that first page, we just have our landing page. Super simple, super clean. You just see what the event kind of is and who's going to be there right off the bat. So you can see these different universities, and they can see this is a collegiate event. Then we introduce what the event is, kind of give them some background, an introduction, as it were, and give them kind of our statement of purpose. Why are we approaching them, and why should they be interested in this? And so it shows them that this is kind of a really large-scale event. It's a statewide invitational, and it's kind of the first of its kind, so it's unique. It'll stand out. It's open, so they'll have a large player base at this event, as well as competitive. And then there's opportunities for them to reach out to the community, which is kind of a general statement, but it's the gaming community that we're really kind of speaking to here. And so that those three things kind of we highlight there. Then we move on to, well, why should you work with us? Like, what kind of things have we done in the past? Do we have a precedent? Or are we just some Joe Schmo off the street that just wants to run an event because that sounds like a fun thing to do? But here we show these are past events we've done, past events in, one of the other universities have done, and how many people we've been able to get to those actual events. These are like real numbers, real events that we've had in the past, and we can kind of translate that to what we're projecting or expecting for this event. So giving them realistic expectations of maybe who will actually be at this event. Then we move on to what do we have to offer? Like, what are the things these companies have to benefit from? So the first thing there, kind of, these are our deliverables, right? Or kind of generalized deliverables. First is brand recognition. You know, being able to get their brand associated with whether it's esports or competitive gaming or even just gaming in general, or getting it out there to these community members that may not even be familiar with their brand. The reach of 6 colleges, which means not only are they just in, say, Salt Lake City, but they're going all the way up, you know, from northern to, you know, central Utah in this case. So they're getting a much larger reach than maybe even any one of these universities would be able to offer alone, which is really kind of enticing to some of these companies. And then community targets, right, where this is a large-scale event, but they're grassroots. So they're able to really kind of speak with the community members themselves instead of just being kind of a person in a suit, right? It's a lot more personable relationship you have there. And then the daily social media, it kind of speaks for itself, right? Social media, everyone understands, you know, there's this reach. You push out to this marketing base that you can reach there with social media, and then again with the grassroots scenes. And then on the next page, we kind of break down into these different tiers. And we talked about tiers a little bit last week, but tiers are a really effective way of kind of giving a wide variety of sponsors opportunities to still participate in your event, even if they may not be able to commit to everything you're asking for, right? And so in this case, we broke it down into cash or a certain cash value in product, because a lot of times you'll find sponsors, it's really hard to get cash, but it's really easy to get product a lot of times because they have product to just give away, right? It's just in boxes in their office that they don't know what to do with. Whereas cash is a lot harder because then they have to go through their accounting. Unless they have a really good marketing department, it's trickier to get actual cash, especially for single events. So we have these broken up here. Obviously, diamond, gold, silver is kind of what we used here for our breakdown. Diamond obviously having the most, the largest presence on social media and on physical media, and then silver kind of just having, you know, at the bottom, and then gold meeting somewhere in the middle. The important thing with these, though, is to be flexible. Sometimes you'll get a sponsor that maybe doesn't want all of this. Maybe they just want to pick and choose. If you can be flexible, that's great. In fact, you should be flexible. And then the last thing on here is just showing them how we're driving all of these people at this event to these sponsors. We actually ended up having this kind of cool hallway that we called Sponsorship Row that was between the rooms where the competitors were playing and the actual live stage. So whenever they'd have to go in between, whether to get food or to go, you know, watch everyone else play, they had to go through these sponsors and interact with them. And then we had these passports that kind of were like mission cards. So in order to like get a raffle ticket, you had to go talk to sponsor A, and you had to go do this activity at sponsor B's booth and all these different things. So kind of a fun event content that we snuck in there as well. And then at the end, you see just kind of contact information for some of our leadership that we're directing the event and how they can kind of get in contact with us if they're interested in more or being a part of this. So kind of just a walkthrough of this deck, but kind of give you an idea of how that works.
Yeah, that was really good to be able to actually see it all laid out and, yeah, you know, actually have some structure to it. That
mm-hmm.
that was good. So.
And one thing I want to stress, though, like, these decks are not perfect by any means, right? Like, our organization, we're all college students still learning things, and most of us aren't, like, marketing majors by any means. But these are what, you know, at least some of the methods we've found are effective and work for us, at least.
Awesome. Did you have anything else you wanted to show, or are you ready to move on to the next topic?
That was everything I have for a single event focus, at least for the deck example. But I think Andy has a couple points as well on this.
Yeah, I was just going to kind of ask you who you would approach as a sponsor for like a single event. If you're just looking for a one-off type sponsor, are there particular niches that you would approach, or are there reasons behind having a single sponsored event? Or a single event sponsor, or one-time sponsor for an event?
Yeah, so honestly, a single event sponsor or that kind of deck is good for larger scale events. If you're going for like a smaller event and it's just a one-time thing, it's almost more effort than it's worth to just build a whole deck for, say, like a one-time fireside gathering that you're just going to have for a few hours. Especially if you're only expecting maybe like 20 or 30 people, having a sponsorship deck is kind of overkill. But if you're planning on having maybe a larger scale event, say like 60, 70, 100 plus, you know, even more, it's very prudent to have some kind of professional way to approach these sponsors. So to answer your question, what kind of sponsor would you approach for, say, like a single type of event? Food is big, right? Because getting a food sponsor is huge. For this event, we actually ended up going with Chick-fil-A, and everybody loves Chick-fil-A, so that worked out great. And we ended up working with them later. But for this, you know, getting a food sponsor is really good for a one-time event, because people always eat, right? And so if they see food there and they're like, oh, I've actually never tried that place before. If, say, you go approach maybe a new business, a new food restaurant business or something, or even just a chain, and they're like, I've never eaten there. That was pretty good. I'll go back again. And sometimes they'll give you like coupons or flyers to have at the event, like physical media, so that people can take those and be like, I'll go there again. Or this is their full menu. I should try that, you know, next time I'm in the area. So things like that are actually really, really good for single events. The other thing I might suggest is maybe like a local like restaurant itself, maybe not for the food specifically, but for the venue. So Buffalo Wild Wings is actually a really good example, because if you contact like their manager for the store, and you let them know what kind of event you're wanting to do, even if it's just like a viewing party, say for like, I don't know, say you want to do like a BlizzCon viewing party and you want to watch the Tavern v Tavern thing going on. Say that's your event. Obviously, that's a one-time thing. You're not going to have a Tavern v Tavern every month. That's a great example where you can go in and say, this is what we're doing. This is about what we're going to expect. And a lot of times Buffalo Wild Wings are great to work with, because they'll give you the venue for free, and they'll even get you a kickback depending on how much your patrons spend on food, which is beneficial to you as well. And they'll even turn on the TVs for you. They'll hook up a Twitch stream or anything it is, yeah, that you want to set up. So things like that are great for single events.
What about, like, if it is around a particular holiday? Like, I notice a lot of times for when it comes down to winter holidays for Christmas and everything else, when you have your Toys for Tots drives and everything else, getting, you know, sponsors to come on board for those events who really don't have any long-term benefit in partnering up with you because they're only a seasonal business. Yeah. Do you have any experience with doing that?
Sort of. We actually had an event about a year and a half ago. It was a, it was a charity event where we ended up raising about $5,000 for Primary Children's Hospital. And we haven't repeated that event again. It would be a fun event to do in the future, but it was kind of a temporary opportunity window that we had. And it worked out that we were able to do that. And again, it was kind of one of those single event type deals that we had a deck that we had established for. And we reached out to all kinds of companies. And you'd be surprised, especially when it comes to like charity events, who will be willing to work with you. We had Google, we had Microsoft, we had Logitech. It was really fun and really kind of an eye-opening experience for us to see just what kind of sponsors you can reach when you do that kind of event. And then kind of to go back to the Tavern v Tavern, these kind of like one-time events are really good opportunities to really hone in on these single event focused types of sponsors. So yeah.
You know, we're doing a fireside gathering at BlizzCon prior to BlizzCon at Con Before the Storm, and we have opted to go sponsor less on this one because we're also going infrastructure less and everything less. We're just making it a casual event. So that's just saying that there's times when you may not want, and the reason we don't want it is because there's no telling how the Hilton is going to react to those people, the infrastructure and everything else. No telling how this thing's going to happen. So we don't want to put forward and grab a bunch of sponsors and walk in there and have the whole thing fall apart on us. We may not be so lucky to go 8 miles down the road and have another setup like Avanti's did a couple weeks ago. So we're kind of dodging that one. So there may be times I'm looking at him, he's like, oh no, don't bring that up, Root. So there may be times when it's risky.
and your sponsors
need to understand that there is sometimes there's going to be a little bit of risk involved. But for the most part, I think it works out pretty absolutely. Well. So I think Larry's going to ask you about some of the long-term sponsor-focused events that you got going on.
Yeah, so when it does come to long-term sponsorships, you know, building those relationships and making those sustainable, you know, it's always going to be mutually beneficial. And there are clear benefits for doing so. So, Jordan, what would you say are the clear benefits for working towards that kind of relationship with a sponsor?
So, what are the first clear benefits is consistency, right? So if you develop that relationship with a sponsor and they're at your events consistently, not only does that build trust between the two of you, but it also builds trust between your community and that organization as well. So if they're constantly seeing, say, Joe's T-shirt shack at your firesides, they'll be like, huh, okay, they must be a good company. Or say this Juanito's burritos are always providing you with food at your events, and your patrons are like, oh, these burritos are pretty good, but I've never tried their enchiladas. Maybe I should go try their enchiladas sometime. Right? And so it kind of just develops that community trust as well between the vendor, the sponsor, and your patrons. Another really big benefit is being able to build future relationships with other companies or other sponsorships. So when we built our deck for this year, for fall of 2017, we kind of compiled a list of all of the previous sponsors, companies, local or corporate, that we had worked with in the past, and kind of just built this giant wall of
I'm going to pull brand, that up brands. For people to see.
Yeah. So kind of like past partners is what we had. And so if you want to scroll, I think it's the third slide there. And so we kind of built this just page of most of these brands. People will recognize, especially.
That's so cool. Sponsors. I just want to interject real quick because, oh, yeah, especially with sponsorship decks, in my experience, if you can be visual without using words, like you were saying earlier, try not to like use, you know, all the words you can, but sometimes it is applicable, of course. But with something like this, like brand awareness and things that people recognize as a brand, like that pulls a lot of weight as well, instead of like having a whole paragraph saying the names of it, just using their logos and being visual with it that way can be really impactful.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And one thing we didn't realize at the time, but like sponsors would see this and they're like, our name's going to go on that list too. That means we'll be right up there with Microsoft and Blizzard and yeah, NVIDIA. They're like, that's cool, right? Like Mainframe here, they're actually a local Utah-based company. They're a gaming apparel company. And they've really picked up a lot of momentum here in the past year. And we really like working with them. They're great. We see them at events all the time. But, you know, just things like that, that companies that are local can rub elbows, you know, with the big boys, right? But anyways, so being able to show them that you've worked with these companies in the past, and it's not just like I've worked with my local Denny's and this one guy that one time, right? Like you show them these are people that are interested in what we've done, right? And we represent them at least in some fashion at previous events and hopefully future events as well, right?
I just want to say that one guy that one time worked out really well, okay?
right. but anyways, right? You get what I'm saying. So this it kind of, it's almost like a resume for your organization, right? Like these are the things we've done in the past. You should join this list. It would be really great. Mars in the chat saying, yeah, my past partners will say Denny's. But so this is definitely one of those kind of outstanding benefits to, you know, kind of mention. But of course, there's always, you know, the obvious ones. It's a benefit of having physical prizing at your events that you might not otherwise have. There's a monetary benefit that allows you to really level up your events that you might not otherwise be able to do. Because, you know, innkeepers, we all do this voluntarily. I don't really know many people or anyone that does this like as a full-time job, except for maybe Scott. But, you know, anyway, no, I know he has an actual, you know, full-time job as well. But, yeah, we do all this.
Dressing up as the innkeeper.
Yeah. he went pretty ham.
Ham's the word you're looking for. Yeah.
Absolutely. But anyways, not to digress too much, but you know, we do this all voluntarily. So any help we can find definitely helps us level up our events. But the better you can represent yourself, your organization, and really kind of Hearthstone itself, the better you can. The better events you'll be able to pull off in the future.
All right.
Cool. Awesome. This stuff is great. I feel like incubators have been wanting this kind of information for a little while. So I think that this is just really good. It's really great talking to you about this, Jordan, because you really seem to, you know, be able to explain these things in a way that makes it very approachable from a new organizer, which this kind of stuff when I was starting out I was like, a sponsorship deck? What even is that? Like, the name doesn't even make sense. Like, and this stuff. So
no, is that like full of Hunter cards, or
you just go face? No, I like to think of it as the reason we call it a deck is you're stacking the odds in your favor, right?
Yes, by I like it.
By representing yourself as valuably as possible, right? So you go to Value Town, you construct this deck, you stack the odds in your favor, and you've got a good sponsorship deck.
There we go.
Awesome. It's good to know.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So I guess now we would normally be looking at questions here. Do we have any questions in the Discord this evening?
Not in the Discord. I don't see any.
What about in chat? Got questions in the chat? Questions in the chat?
Mars is just saying how if he ever makes a deck, it will be Golden.
You know, if we were Cal or something or the Golden Bears, I'm sure our decks would be Golden.
Right.
All right, so I've got a question for you here.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
How many meetings and sponsor decks do you send out before you get a yes?
That's actually a really good question.
Yeah.
So I actually wanted to, I'm going to tangent just slightly, but I was going to mention, it's always ideal if you can present your deck in person, or, you know, arrange a meeting where you can actually have a face-to-face conversation with the sponsor you're targeting. Because it goes over way, way better if you have an actual conversation versus just shooting it off to some void of an email, right? So we definitely have a lot better success when we have an actual conversation with the representative of the organization. In fact, I would say it's probably close to like me. I don't have any like actual numbers. Like, we don't keep track of how many people say no, but I would say it's definitely above like 60 or 70% when we actually talk with these sponsors.
So what's your normal routine? Do you show up obviously with a meeting and an agenda planned out? Do you bring the deck printed out, or is it something that you say, hey, give me your email, I've got something emailed to you later on, maybe you can check that out? Or what's your normal, your MO for getting someone to actually pay attention to the sponsor deck?
Yeah. So normally we don't print it out. We do sometimes. We have actually a couple times in the past, especially this semester. But usually we'll set it up on like a laptop, and so that they can kind of look through it, and then we'll send it to them ahead of time if they want to read it. But then usually they don't read it because no one reads anything.
No one reads anything. Right.
But you know, we'll send it to them ahead of time. That way they can reference it after our meeting is usually what they end up doing. And then we'll kind of present it to them, which is why I said, you know, the less words, and Larry also touched on this, the less words you can get by with, the better, and the more graphics and images you can get by with, the better. Because, again, no one reads anything. No one wants to read anything. Reading sucks. Everyone would just rather look at pictures and understand things through graphics and, you know, things like that. So present it as though you would like a sales pitch. Right, because that's what this kind of is. You're selling yourself, your organization, and why they should care about you. So that's kind of the best approach. Less ideal, of course, is, you know, you just send it off to them, you introduce yourself through an email, be as professional as possible. But, you know, obviously not ideal to just send it off in an email. If anything, a phone call is better than, you know, just a cold email. Cold calling is always better than cold emailing.
I've got a question. Let's say you've built your sponsorship deck, you've submitted it, and now the sponsor is coming back. And what sort of questions should you expect from the sponsors after they've reviewed your sponsorship deck?
So what kind of responses should we expect?
Mm-hmm. Or, you know, like, if they have questions, what types of questions have they come back at you with in the past? Like, well, you know, we're looking for more information about this or that. You know, have you ever had any instances specifically where they wanted more information besides what was in the deck?
So what's their pushback?
Yeah, so a lot of times they want to know specifically, like, when it comes to deliverables, they're like, well, could you show us an example of, like, what this would look like with our name on it, right? Or like, where would our brand be for this event, right? And so a lot of times we'll have to kind of white box it out for them and show them, this is kind of, say, like a stream overlay, right? You can pull up an example of a stream overlay and be like, your name would be here. Or you have like a graphic for a banner or flyers, and say, you know, your brand, your name would be here. And if you have like a layout for like a floor plan or something, say you're going to have them actually on site, be like, you would have this space here. So giving them actual examples is a lot of probably the most common thing that they're asking for. They're like, we want to actually see what this would look like. Right, proof of concept, things like that.
Okay, cool. Looks like we got a question from Mars. Yeah, Marsbad had a question in chat. He says, "What is the worst sponsor story you have?" And on the flip side, what's the best surprise about having a sponsor?
That's a good question. I would say you never want to talk bad about past sponsors, right?
You really don't. you never know.
It was that one time with that one guy.
Yeah, all the names are changed to save the
innocent. Always throwing that one guy under the bus, man.
Always. Yeah.
Honestly, I can't think of anything outstanding with bad sponsors. In particular, we have obviously had maybe less than ideal experiences with certain organizations, but usually we try and come away from them positively and always leave on a positive note because you never want to burn bridges, right? That's the worst thing you can do because not only does it hurt you and it hurts them, but it hurts your future potential opportunities. So. As far as like best surprise about having a sponsor, it's always cool when they show up and they actually are willing to do more than they even agreed to, right? And so, a lot of times we'll get sponsors and they'll show up with maybe more swag or more prizes than we had anticipated. And it's always just kind of a nice surprise to be like, oh, well, we have extra things. In fact, at this Utah Ice event, we had so much stuff to give away that by the end of the event, we just had boxes and boxes of stuff that we just didn't know what to do with. And so everyone that was there, we're like, okay, everyone just get in a line and we're just going to start just giving stuff away to everyone who's still here. So that was kind of a nice surprise.
Yeah, that's cool.
And it was actually it was over Easter weekend, so we had like Easter eggs, like physical Easter eggs that had like the size of prize or classification of prizes. So we just gave out Easter eggs to everybody.
That's cool.
Like, come get a prize, find out what size you got. So it was kind of fun.
So I'll share my little sponsorship horror story with everybody here.
Well, this will be good.
I'll leave names out. It's not that bad. It's actually not too bad. No. I didn't do proper research, and this is always important when you talk to a sponsor, and it's the what the venue will and will not allow. And this particular venue, which is a library, it's a tech center and a library, and it's not for Hearthstone, it's for a different event, but they only allow bottled water, nothing else inside that event. And my sponsor was not a bottled water. It was a different type of beverage. And the venue said, nope, can't bring it in. I said, well, we're not going to open up the cans. Nope, don't even want any. Cannot bring it in. You can keep it downstairs, keep it in the parking lot, wherever. And I was like, well, all right, that's a bum deal. So take it back to my car. Sponsor shows up to the event, and I have nothing there. No flags, no T-shirts, no hat, nothing that has a sponsor's name on it, and no product. There's nothing at all that says a sponsor is sponsoring the event. and a sponsor showed up. And I was like, wow. So, yeah, we can't actually have you sponsor this event. Not in the way that you traditionally would sponsor an event, by giving us product. And so that one didn't go over too well. Now, on the flip side, we actually had the same thing that Jordan had happen, where on one of our Hearthstone events, one of our Fireside Gatherings, we have a local comic shop that sponsors it with prizes and swag. And he has shown up to events and given out additional stuff. Just brought additional stuff. Said, I didn't know, but I brought extra stuff. And then we were able to like up the prize pool that we had and then give him a great, you know, hey, everybody, just to let you know, this is the guy. He's actually brought all the prizes. And this is where you go find him and go, you know, go to the store. Go check it out. So that's always a great experience there. But yeah, the lesson there is, do your homework on the venue to make sure that your venue actually allows certain sponsorships to come in.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a very important thing to know. So, all right. Well, anybody have any last minute things they would like to add on today's topic? Anyone at all?
Well, did I understand earlier, Jordan, that you are going to make these decks available to our listeners?
Yeah. In fact, we have we have links ready for everybody here. So, I think, Patrick, if you want to share those with everyone there in the chat, and then we can also maybe link them in the Discord as
point. We can copy those links over to the Discord as well.
Very cool
for people. So, won't be a problem.
Thank you so much for making those available. That's awesome, sir.
Yeah, that really is absolutely. Cool.
Thanks to my organization, Crimson Gaming. They approved me to share these with everyone.
So. Aw, that's very nice of them.
Awesome. We love Crimson Gaming.
Right. This episode brought to you by now. Speaking of sponsorships. But that is a good, that's another thing too that I will add. If you're running a stream with your event, find a way to segue your sponsors into it as naturally as just happened with Crimson Gaming and Jordan just sliding that right in. That really goes a long way with sponsors, especially if they're watching. Sometimes sponsors can't be on site, and when they're not, they're definitely going to be, hopefully, watching your stream. So, you know, getting your casters on board, being able to provide your casters. I usually have a doc, just a Google spreadsheet kind of deal that has player info, things like that. But then I make sure that there's a blurb area of information about the event. But then I also say, please thank our sponsors. And then the list is there. So at any time throughout the stream, you know, if they're because, oh, hey, we need two more minutes because we're setting up the next game, you know, ooh. we almost went the whole episode. Camera just fell. So, you know, if there's going to be like a 30-second minute delay that your casters need a bit of just things to say, you know, that's going to be one of their go-tos, and then that's just a win-win. So keep that in mind. So
you're saying
as well.
Hand them a dry read is what you're saying. Just hand them a piece of paper. Read this.
No, you give it to them digitally beforehand, so it's all good to go. But yeah, you could like, If you have someone, you can just write sponsors on a piece of paper and like flash behind the like monitor. Be like sponsors.
All right. Well, I think that's
I know Jordan's got it. Well, go ahead, sir.
No, I was just say I think that's gonna about wrap us up for the week. So basically, if you jumped in late, just a little quick recap of this week's episode. We talked about finding an event sponsor, getting a signed sponsorship deal, and how to build your sponsorship deck. So, you know, we've got examples we'll be sharing in the Innkeeper Discord, so make sure you check those out. Also, next week on episode 5, we will be talking Hearthstone with a little international flair.
So, ooh, what could that mean?
Tune in next week for further information.
Is Canada not international enough?
So, all right. So let's let everybody know where they can find you if they're interested in maybe learning a little more. Jordan, where can they find you online?
Easiest way is probably Twitter, just Jordan underscore Runyon, or on Discord even, in the Innkeeper Discord, as well as Facebook.
Okay, awesome. Aliri?
You can find me on Twitter at Aliri. I'm also on Instagram and Snapchat, so a few places you can find me. And the Discord server, of course.
Root, right. Where can everybody find you?
Obviously, they can find me on the Discord server. I'm also, you can find me on Twitter at Hearthcast. Root also co-host a World of Warcraft podcast and Blizzard game podcast called Hearthcast. What about you, Avantes? Where can everybody find you?
Not on the Discord. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, no. No, you didn't.
Yeah, no, I'm there. And you can also find me on Twitter at AvantesHS, or you can find me every Wednesday night at 7:30 Eastern on Hero Power. It's a weekly Hearthstone podcast, so we'd love to have you come stop by and join us. We just did our 100th episode, and we're looking forward to 100 more, so...
Oh, wow, congrats. That's actually huge. Wow, I can't even imagine if we get to 100 episodes with this.
we'll get
that
there
would
eventually.
Feel amazing. Here, no wow.
Time. Yeah, no time. Two it years. Takes no time. Yeah. So, and if you congrats, haven't already, awesome. Join the Innkeeper Discord. We'd love to have you. Lots of great information to be had, and lots to learn from a great group of international innkeepers. There are people there from every corner of the globe, and you can learn so much. Yeah. So check that out. Also, hsnkeepers.com has all the resources you need to run a great fireside gathering. You can also check out resources.firesidegatherings.com, which is the Blizzard page. Check that out. And I believe that's going to do it for us this week. We would like to thank you all for taking the time to join us. And we'll see you all again next week.
Thanks for listening to the Innkeepers podcast. For all sorts of Hearthstone community-related goodness, check out hsinnkeepers.com. Come on now. Are you just roping me along?